This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today is Thursday, April 29, 2021, and it is the 17th day of Ramadan, 1442. 17 days gone, just like that, subhanallah. Tonight is the 18th night of Ramadan, and on Sunday night we will begin the 21st night of Ramadan. The last 10 nights will begin on Sunday night, inshallah ta'ala. So we only have a few more days of this month of Ramadan. In fact, a few more days until we reach the middle of this month. And we know that once the middle of the month comes, there's a whole bunch of emotions that start to be thrown left, right, and center. There's the emotions of the fact that the month of Ramadan is coming to an end. For some people, that's a happy thing, a joyful time. For other people, that's sad, right? That this blessed month of Ramadan is going to be leaving us. All the beautiful live streaming that we've been having together is going to most likely slow itself down drastically once again. That feel of Ramadan just won't be there anymore. So that's a sad moment. We also have people thinking and getting ready for Eid, even though this year Eid for us over here in Toronto or in the GTA, and as well as across the Ontario province, is going to be one spent at home. We're still going to prepare for it. We'll still get dressed nicely. We will still get up early in the morning, do our adhkar, you know, still enjoy some nice food at home, inshallah ta'ala. I'm pretty sure that people will be dropping things off at each other's homes, doing some porch drop-offs and stuff like that. So, you know, alhamdulillah, that's there. There's also the last 10 nights where we give it all we've got. And so we either dedicate our entire time towards ibadah, or some people start to celebrate already. And we hope that, you know, we can maximize from this month of Ramadan and give it as much time as possible right up until the last seconds of this blessed month. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we look at two surahs of the Qur'an, Surah Al-Anbiya, the Prophets, and Surah Al-Hajj, right? Surah Al-Hajj. These are two beautiful surahs of the Qur'an. First off, Surah Al-Anbiya, talking about a number of the different prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but more specifically, the message that they were conveying and who they were conveying it to. And then we also see Surah Al-Hajj that has a lot of lessons in it related to Hajj, related to Mecca, or being in the state of Ihram, pilgrimage, and so on. And it's a surah that we, you know, get a lot of insight towards or for Hajj and pilgrimage. We also see the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam related to Hajj, and the building of the Kaaba is going to be mentioned in that surah. The story of Ibrahim alayhi salam is here in Surah Al-Anbiya as well, and in, you know, multiple different surah across the Quran. So let's begin with Surah Al-Anbiya, inshaAllah ta'ala. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Iqtaraba lin-nasi hisabuhum wa hum fi ghaflatin mu'ridun. ما يأتيهم من ذكر من ربهم محدث إلا استمعوه وهم يلعبون.
In the first two verses of Surah Al-Anbiya, verse number 1 and 2, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اقترب للناس حسابهم. The time of people's judgment has drawn near. So the time of our judgment has come very close to us. وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ Yet they are heedlessly turning away. This very first ayah, of course, shakes us up a little bit, right? It makes us think, wait a second, the end of times is really that near. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the end of times is already coming and that, you know, our moment and time to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come very quickly. So, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ The time of people's judgment has drawn near. وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ And we are still living our lives thinking we're going to be here forever. And this reminds me of what I was saying the other day when we were talking about how 100 years from now, we will not be, most likely, you know, we will not be remembered. The people who are living on this earth will have most likely forgotten us for the most part, and they will be living their lives and what's important to them. And we will be gone, done and dusted, as we say, right? Done and dusted. Yet we still live through this life, still pass through this life, still, you know, spend our time here thinking we're going to be here for a long time, thinking we're going to be here forever. Earlier today, this is what I was thinking. Earlier today, I was thinking how our mind shifts in the way that we think of things, right? Our mind tends to change in a certain way as we get older. When we're younger, we never think that we are going to get older. We never feel as though life is going to catch up and get to us. We never feel, we feel invincible when we're younger, right? We feel like we're superhumans. You know, we can do anything, nothing's going to affect us. I remember when I was a mechanic, you know, subhanAllah, working as a technician in the garage, I would never wear gloves on my hands. You know, you'd get grease on your hands, and whenever the grease was too thick and too dirty, you take some WD-40 and you spray it on your hands, and then you rub it together, and then you go and you wash it off, and it comes off. And I remember my mom and my uncles, you know, family relatives, they used to say, don't do that, you know, it's not good for your health. When you get older, you regret it. You know, it takes a toll on your body, takes a toll on the health. I used to do things as well where, you know, you're just working on the ground, so it's cement on the floor. You don't put a mat underneath you or something to insulate you from the cement, from the ground. But as you get older, you start to feel all these aches and pains in your joints, and you start to feel, you know, you feel that life has taken a toll on you. And subhanAllah, we usually don't realize it when we're younger. And then as you get older, you start to think differently. You're like, wait a second, I need to live a few more years. So let me take care of my health. You know, let me do things slightly differently. It could even be, you know, simple things like teeth. Like some people just don't brush their teeth often, or they don't floss, right? And you hear it from dentists all the time. You go in, they ask you, they're like, how often do you brush your teeth? And you tell them, you know, 3 times a day, 4 times a day. And then they're like, how often do you floss? And it's like the golden question. They don't really care how often you brush. They care more about how often you floss, right? Because these teeth need to last you forever. And that's something we teach our children. Like when our children, you know, every other day, they're like, oh, this tooth is loose, that tooth is loose, and they're about to lose a tooth. You know, you tell them, hey, take care of your teeth, because those are the teeth that you're going to live with for the rest of your life. You're not getting another set. There's no new pair of teeth or a new set of teeth that's going to come into your mouth. You know, you have to stick with those, so take care of them, brush, floss, and so on and so forth. And so as we get older, we start to think of how... Someone's asking what floss is. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Right? As we get older, we start to think of how our bodies need to be maintained in order to make it further. So for example, you reach 40 and you think to yourself, wait a second, if I'm planning on living until I reach 80, as in if I end up reaching the age of 80 years old, will I have enough energy in my body to survive? Will I be able to go jogging? Will I be able to, you know, do the simple things in life? Will I be able to carry my groceries in from the car to the house and so on? But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, we just live through this life thinking we're going to be here forever, never really thinking of the end, never thinking of a time that we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that's what Allah is reminding us of, then there's a lot that's going to happen before it. There's, if we work our way backwards from the time of the judgment that we stand before Allah, we work backwards, the time of the barzakh, then the time of our death, then our lives, and all the way back to where we are today. You know, subhanAllah, when you think of it, there's not much time left if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the hour or the time of our judgment is coming very close. So we need to really start to think of how we're living through this life. And that doesn't mean that we do what I was saying before, as in you start to slow down, you start to, no, think wisely, be, you know, a little more educated in your decisions in life. Everything should be more deen-centric, right? Like we think more about Islam, we think more about our iman, we think more about our akhirah, we think more about how we need to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in verse number 2, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ ذِكْرٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ مُحْدَثٍ إِلَّا اسْتَمَعُوهُ وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ. Whatever new reminder comes to them from their Lord, they only listen to it jokingly. Now, of course, we can look at this from the angle of the non-Muslims, right? The mushrikun, anyone who's not Muslim, basically. And we as Muslims can say, oh, but they know about Islam, they know us as Muslims, you know, they've interacted with Muslims before, they have a slight amount of education related to what it means to be a Muslim and what a Muslim does and Ramadan and fasting and zakah and hajj and all these different principles that we have in our deen. But if we were to look at this ayah from the angle of the Muslim, that the Muslim, whenever we hear something new, a new reminder, right, that comes from Allah, as in there might be an ayah that we never really focused on before. We may have read over in the Quran multiple times, but never really focused on that ayah, that verse. What about the time when that ayah, right, clicks in your mind, connects with your heart, right, and becomes a part of who you are and your life? All of a sudden, that ayah is something that you thought of and it reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you benefited from. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whatever new reminder comes to them from their Lord, they only listen to it jokingly. So what about the amount of times that we as Muslims have been reminded of our deen and we learnt of something when we were a child but continue to live our lives disregarding that aspect of our belief? And when we get older, we hear that reminder and we say, oh, our parents used to talk about this. And we tell some story about it or we relate some, you know, incident that happened to us in our lives that, you know, sort of links to that ayah or that hadith, but we just continue to live onwards and don't let that take any sort of effect on us in our lives. Or there are some times where we learn new things about Islam. For example, when I teach through the chapters of fiqh, right, our essential fiqh class that we have on Sundays, there's a lot of times when as Muslims we hear new things. Right? We hear new things about our deen. It's not that it's new in Islam, it's new to us, right? The listener, the person who's hearing it for the first time is like, wow, I never knew this about Islam, or I never knew this about Salah, right? Someone says, I can actually say A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim in my prayer, and you know, blow three times to the left when shaitan is distracting me, when I'm basically thinking of something else, right, in my Salah. Or someone says, you know, I never knew this about, you know, about fasting, or I never knew this about zakah, or I never knew this aspect of my deen. And all of a sudden we learn it as something new and we just let it go. Or we hear a story. Sometimes we hear hadith that's related to us that's a little bit longer, right? Usually the way that imams, you know, operate, especially at Jum'ah, you know, in our halaqat and stuff like that, we will share smaller ayat or smaller hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that people can connect with, they can memorize, they can relate to, and you know, it just becomes something that's easy to do. For example, la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibbu li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi, right? How the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, none of you will truly believe, as in your iman is not fully complete, until you love for your Muslim brother or sister what you love for yourself, right? Such a short, powerful reminder. And we will go on and elaborate and so on. But sometimes we hear a longer hadith. We hear a story, something that is a little bit more lengthy. And we hear it, we laugh, we smile, we say, SubhanAllah, that's amazing. And we just move on. That hadith was meant to change our lives. That ayah is meant to change our lives. We're supposed to take it and absorb it and, you know, implement that in our lives. As opposed to what we typically do is we hear things sometimes when we say, I'm okay, man, I'm good. Like, the way I'm praying is fine. You know, if you share a hadith of, you know, salah and raising our hands, for example, in salah, or saying ameen out loud, some Muslims will say, I know, I get it, there's a hadith on it, but I'm good the way I pray, right? I'm okay the way I do things. I'm comfortable with my iman, my level of iman, my level of Islam. Are we really comfortable? Are we really comfortable? Or are we supposed to be striving harder to become better and to increase in our knowledge and increase in our ability to practice our deen and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because that's important for us, my brothers and sisters, right? That's really important for us. And so use this ayah number one and number two of Surah Al-Anbiya, as a reminder to us as believers how we are supposed to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't just turn away from new reminders or things that we hear of this deen that have an important message for us, and at times we just disregard. Khalas, let's move on, inshallah ta'ala. Let's go to verses number 34 and 35. Okay, verses number 34 and 35. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 34 of Surah Al-Anbiya, we have not granted immortality to any human before you, O Prophet. So if you die, will you live forever? Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you're going to die, right? You will leave this world, which means you will not last forever. You will not be on this earth forever, okay? So we've not granted immortality to any of the humans before you, and you yourself will die. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 35, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that every soul shall taste death. Every soul shall taste death. The question is, what flavor are you expecting? Right? What flavor are we expecting? We will taste death. We will experience it. But how will the experience be? What flavor of death do we want? Do we want one that is sweet, that is nice? You know, you go to a restaurant and you enjoy your favorite meal, whether it's biryani or a steak or burgers or kabsa or, you know, nasi lemak or... trying to remember a dish that I used to eat. Mi goreng, right? Mi goreng kampung, whatever your favorite meal is, okay? You go to the restaurant, you enjoy that meal. It's nice, it's beautiful. But at the end of it, you want something sweet. You still crave to have something sweet. And I know all the health buffs and the vegans and everyone out there is going to say, no, we're off that. We don't eat any sugars. We don't have anything sweet. We're good. Alhamdulillah. As human beings, we still do cherish it. We still enjoy something sweet every now and then, even though we may be restricting it from our diet, we still enjoy something sweet and we can still enjoy something halal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on earth for us, right? And so the question now really is, you know, when you're done eating your steak and your burger, your biryani, your kabsa, your kafta, your nasi goreng, nasi lemak, whatever it is, do you still want dessert? Yes, we want something sweet. And so the life we live, we will taste death, but do we want that death to be a sweet ending, or do we want it to be one that is bitter, right? Like the grela, the bitter gourd, right? Which is very good and healthy, but do we want something that's sweet? Of course, every single one of us wants to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that we are feeling Allah is happy with us. And so when we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to taste the sweetness of death, right? So when Allah says in verse number 35, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, every soul shall taste death. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we test you, O humanity, with good and evil as a trial. Then to us you will all be returned. Every single one of us will taste death. And throughout life, every single one of us will struggle. Every single one of us will have some sort of hardship, some sort of good and ease that will be a test from Allah as well. And we will have some sort of hardship and difficulty and trial that will be a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. And so no matter what we experience in life, no matter what we're going through, think of it as, I need to succeed at this test. I need to win this challenge. I will come in first place. I will work as hard as I can. Think of an athlete who will push and push and push. They will ride the bicycle as best as they can. They will run as fast as they can. Or they will run at a constant pace in order to win that marathon, right? Or they will swim as best as they can. They will jump as high as they can. They will play as hard as they can. They will row as efficiently as possible in order to win. Hardship is needed in order to win. Difficulty will be in the path of those who are successful. You cannot win a gold medal in any of the Olympics without pushing yourself beyond limits that you didn't even knew existed within you. You cannot win a gold medal without crying along the way. You cannot win a gold medal without breaking down along the way. You cannot win a gold medal without, you know, complaining and saying, this is too much, I can't do it, and someone pushes you beyond that and motivates you. You cannot win a gold medal without feeling burned in your body. You cannot win a gold medal without sacrificing time away from family. And if that's what we need to do in order to win a gold medal, then how do we expect it to be if we want to attain Jannah? Do we think that it's going to be a walk through the park? And my brothers and sisters, this means we may not feel the burn in our muscles like an athlete does. We may not feel the, you know, the strain in our body like someone who's trying to win that gold medal. But we will feel the stress of the day-to-day grind. We will feel the tension in our lives in going out and dealing with society, in needing to pray and needing to fast and needing to display our deen to others and needing to stand strong and, you know, putting up with the difficulty that is out there. We will face it. As parents, you will face the hardship of raising your children. And at times, thinking to ourselves, you know what? Let them sleep through Fajr. No, don't let them sleep through Fajr. Wake them up. We as parents think to ourselves, oh, but you know, beta, so young, oh, miskeen, right? Meri sadke jaan. I sacrifice everything for them. How can I wake them up? Look at them, right? No, wake them up, because that's what's important, right? That's what's important in the end. There has to be burn. There has to be strain. There has to be hardship. There has to be difficulty. And that includes the emotional difficulty that we as parents go through or adults go through as well in our lives. We will feel the anxiety. We will at times feel stuck and annoyed with this dunya. Right? We will feel annoyed with this world that we live in. As Muslims, we will feel that. I'm telling you, you will feel it. If you've ever felt that there's times where you're like, I'm fed up of this world. I'm fed up of this dunya. I'm like, what's the purpose? That's not always a bad thing. That's not always a bad thing. The good thing, the good outcome to that thought or those thoughts or those feelings is that the believer knows we're not here forever. We are not meant to be in this world forever. But at the same time, we need to push through. We need to carry on. Because Allah is the one who gives us life, and Allah will take it when the time is right. In the meantime, I will get frustrated with this dunya, but I won't let it get to me. I will feel, you know, anxiety, but I'm going to work through it. I'm going to understand what triggers me, and I'm going to tell myself, Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. Right? Allah is the best of planners, and He is sufficient for me. Allah is sufficient for us. Right? Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. He's the best of planners, the best of providers, the best of protectors, the one who gives us what is needed for us to have of this dunya. And so, my brothers and sisters, when we start to think that way, we start to feel like, subhanAllah, I can do this, right? I can get through it. I can get through this dunya. I can get through this world. It's not so bad after all. I'm not meant to feel like I belong here, because kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib aw abir as-sabil. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be in this dunya as though you're a stranger, or you're a traveler passing through it. Right? You're a traveler passing through it. We are meant to feel like we don't belong. We are meant to feel like we don't belong in this dunya. I don't mean that we don't belong with the human beings around us. Right? That we don't belong in this dunya. Because ultimately, we won't live here forever. Aw abir as-sabil. Someone who's traveling through it, right? Someone who's just passing through this world. Be like that person that is not going to establish themselves thinking, this is my home, this is my city, this is my country, this is where I belong, this is it, everything, I will live and die for this. No, we live and die for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's okay to feel that we are here. It's okay to feel that we belong in this country or in this city or in this town or in this family or in this home. It's okay to feel that I am comfortable in these clothes. I'm comfortable in the car that I drive. I'm comfortable with the people that I hang out with. That's fine. But we belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And at the end of the day, we will return to Allah. And the question once again, what flavor will that death be? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to taste the sweetness of Iman and to leave this world upon Iman and Islam and to be placed under the shade on the day when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to grant us the ability to be at the highest levels, Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. Ameen. In fact, we could take the next two verses, verse number 36. When the disbelievers see you, O Prophet, they only make fun of you, saying, is this the one who speaks ill of our gods? While they disbelieve at the mention of the most compassionate, right? خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Then in verse number 37, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Human beings, humankind, is made of haste, right? We have it within us where we're like, I need to get through this. I need to get through this, right? I need to give it to me right away, right? It's like we can't sit down for 5 minutes and just be at ease. It's like, no, get up and go. SubhanAllah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, humankind is made of haste. I will soon show you my signs, so do not ask me to hasten them, right? Human beings, especially the mushrikun, or those who don't believe, they would tell the anbiya, this surah al-anbiya, the prophets of Allah, bring the punishment, bring this judgment, bring the catastrophe, the disaster that you're saying would afflict us, afflict us, right? Bring it on. Where is it? We'll believe once you show it to us. It's too late at that point in time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Ajal, like the ajala on the car, right? The wheels, the tires, right? We're going fast, we're always moving. As human beings, we need to sometimes slow it down. Just slow it down. Ramadan is a time of the year that we need to just slow it down a little bit, right? Focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Focus on your ibadah. Focus on what's important for you of this dunya. Focus on what's going to allow you to feel the burn of this dunya in order to get the goals or the gains of the akhirah, right? Feel the burn in the dunya and the gains of the akhirah. This is like, you know, anyone who's got like some sort of fitness thing going on, they're probably sitting there, yo, these are awesome lines that are being pulled out today. Alhamdulillah. SubhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to slow it down a little bit. You know, to understand that this life is not about just making the dollars, right? This life is not about just, you know, SubhanAllah, here's something I'll share with you. I was on a group last night, you know, some of our friends, and a discussion was taking place, and the word successful, you know, like brothers and sisters who are looking to get married. So this term successful was being used by some people. They were like, oh, there's a lot of successful sisters out there nowadays, right, who are looking for brothers but can't get married because they aren't as successful as them. Or, you know, my daughter is successful. My son is successful. What is success? And we as Muslims need to, you know, take a step back. Stop using this term successful, linking it to financial success, and thinking that the only success of this dunya is a financial success. Someone who is working a job that's getting paid over 200 grand, you know, a six figures, seven figures, alhamdulillah, you know, they're successful. Really? Is that truly success? What is success? Right? Success is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being good at it. You don't need to be making a seven-figure salary to be successful in this dunya. Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, his mother was successful, right? Maryam, alayha salam, we spoke about her yesterday when we were talking about Surah Maryam, right? She was successful. What did she have in her possession when she delivered her child? A date palm tree that she shook with her hands and water that flowed at her feet. That was the success of Maryam, alayha salam. The greatest of women. Are we saying that we are only successful if we work a job? We're only successful if we've made it in the workforce? If we're setting that as our goal of success, we failed already. We failed already. We shouldn't use that as a gauge to say someone is successful because they work a good full-time job. You know, a son or a daughter of parents became a doctor, alhamdulillah, I have a successful child. Really? How's their salah? How's their salah? As a doctor, how is their salah? I know many Muslim doctors, and I know some that tell me how difficult it is to maintain your prayers working the shifts that they work, right? How is your... I mean, sadaqah, alhamdulillah, you know, some of the doctors are very generous, right? But... How is your level of iman? When you're interacting with someone and their awra is exposed, are you mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that moment? Or are you saying, strictly professional, my brother? Strictly professional. Yeah, I know strictly professional. Alhamdulillah, confidentiality is out there. But are we linking it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Right? Success is not defined by the amount of money that we make and the salaries that we have, or the positions that we get. Someone says, my son is a lawyer, he's successful. Really? He's a lawyer, so he's successful? What kind of a lawyer is he? Let's not get into that. SubhanAllah, right? You know, my child is successful because they're a dentist, or they're a software engineer, or, you know, they are a computer programmer. Alhamdulillah, they're successful. Really? Is that it? Like, have we lowered our standards to just something of this dunya? That we've attained success in being able to purchase a house on interest for a number of years. I know I don't usually come out very frank and straightforward, but my brothers and sisters, think of it. You know, we're using these terms. We have to really and truly understand. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. We just want to make it big in this dunya. And that's why nowadays you see everyone in front of their phones. Everyone's in front of their phones, right? It's the Instagram, the TikTok, the Snapchat, the YouTube. It's like everyone needs to be an influencer. I'm an influencer, right? Someone says, what do? What's your profession? I'm an influencer. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Basically, you show off. You basically show off, right? That's what you, like you got, you need to show off in order to become an influencer. So I'm not saying all of them, but a good amount of influencers. Are they not just showing off? Like, check it out, bling bling. Buy this watch, everybody, right? Wear these shoes, eat this food, right? Go to this place. SubhanAllah. What's the intention behind it? Is it just to make dollars? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save and protect us all. Ameen. I'm looking at the time. We only have about 10 minutes. Let's get into Surah Al-Hajj, inshallah. Okay, let's get into Surah Al-Hajj. At the very beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhan nasu ittaqu rabbakum inna zalzalatas sa'ati shay'un 'azim. O humanity, fear your Lord, for the violent quaking at the hour is surely a dreadful thing. Once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding us that the end of time is near, and that time is a very powerful time, a very difficult time. When this world will end, it will shake violently. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us in the next verse, يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا. On that day, when you see this happening in front of you, every nursing mother will abandon what she is nursing. As in, if she's, you know, feeding this baby or looking after a child, she will abandon it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and every pregnant woman will deliver her burden prematurely. Right? Every woman who's pregnant, with so much fear, the child will be lost. And you will see people as if they were drunk, though they will not be drunk. But the torment of Allah is terribly severe. A'udhu billah, right? Nasal Allah al-afwa wal-afiyya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to protect us. The end of time, my brothers and sisters, when it comes, it will be chaotic. And so, let's try to remember in our minds, am I going to be returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way, in a condition that He is pleased with me, right? In a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be satisfied with what I've done and how I've lived, that He places me into paradise. Those are questions we should be asking ourselves, especially now throughout this month of Ramadan. If we cannot work on our iman throughout Ramadan, how do we expect to work on our iman after Ramadan? Start from now, my brothers and sisters. If you haven't established one thing, I always tell everyone every year, every Ramadan, one thing. Just take one thing away from Ramadan. Just one. Just one thing from Ramadan that you do and did throughout this month that increased your iman a little bit, and keep it with you for the rest of the year. Just one thing. If it means reading through a little bit of the Qur'an every single day, then make that thing that you take away. And next year you can increase in that and continue that as well. But just take one thing away from this month of Ramadan, insha'Allah ta'ala. What else should we take? There's a lot of good verses, but time is of the essence. Let's skip to verse number 26. And remember when we assigned to Ibrahim the site of the house. right? The site of the house. Which house? The Kaaba. Saying, do not associate. Allah tushrik bi shay'a. وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْقَائِمِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ. And remember when we assigned to Ibrahim alayhi salam the site of the house, the Kaaba, saying, do not associate anything with me in worship, and purify my house for those who circle the Kaaba. الطائفين, those who perform tawaf around the Kaaba. والقائمين, and those who stand in prayer. والركع السجود, and those who bow, ركوع, and prostrate. They make sajda. So how do we purify the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We make sure that only ibadah is done there. No business is happening within the Kaaba, within the area of the Kaaba. And this, by default, extends to the other masajid as well. Our masjid, your masjid, if you're here in Milton, alhamdulillah, if we're anywhere else on earth, you know, our masajid need to be a place that is purified with what? With our ibadah. We keep it pure by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, not associating anything with Allah, and by doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الطائفين, around the Kaaba only, right? We don't make tawaf around any other masjid, only around the Kaaba. والقائمين, and we establish prayers within those masajid. There should be people praying in our masajid all the time. All the time. Right? We need to work at reaching that goal. I know now we're during this pandemic, things are a little bit different. But there should always be, especially during the times, if, for example, in some countries, the masjid needs to be locked throughout the night, you know, for safety purposes. You know, whatever times throughout the day the masjid is open and available, there should always be people who are qa'imin, the qa'imun. They're standing in prayer. They are making ruku' and they are making sajda. They are performing some sort of ibadah within the masajid. Purify the masjid that way. Right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ, and call out to the people. Announce to them what? بِالْحَجِّ. Announce to the people that they need to perform hajj. Call out. Sorry, call all people to the pilgrimage, to Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will come to you on foot, on every lean camel, from every distant path, right? They will come from every single corner of this earth, or every single spot, right? Not corner, there's no really corner, there's no corners on a globe, right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so they may obtain the benefits in store for them, and pronounce the name of Allah on appointed days over the sacrificial animals He has provided for them. So eat from their meat and feed the desperately poor. Then let them groom themselves, fulfill their vows, and circle the ancient house. Right? Command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Ibrahim alayhi salam to establish the Kaaba. Then establish people that will pray and they will stand and they will be there in salah around the Kaaba. Then call the people to Hajj and get them to come. From what you will see that they will come from everywhere. And alhamdulillah, that is the case. And this is where, my brothers and sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who have the ability to go for Hajj. We just finished taking examples of how this life is short, how we focus too much on earning wealth, how we spend our time running from point A to point B to point C to point D, constantly running like the rat race that we live in. But my brothers and sisters, we also focused on success. Success. The financial success that people search and thrive to gain in this world. How many of us have become successful enough financially to be able to afford to go for Hajj, but we prioritize other things, things of this dunya, materialistic things, and we don't go for Hajj. We will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment about the pillars of Islam. And from amongst those pillars is our Hajj that needs to be performed. I am pretty sure that those of us who are sitting here watching right now have at least $10,000 worth of luxuries around us. Right? We have at least $10,000 worth of luxuries around us, from homes to cars to clothing to purses and bags to shoes to jewelry to gadgets to technology, computers and iPads and phones and cameras and TVs and satellites and you name it. And then food and appliances and washing machines and dryers. We have so many luxuries in this world. Are we prioritizing Hajj? Are we constantly complaining that every Hajj group is so expensive? Why are they doing this? Aib, aib, too difficult to go for Hajj. Yet we will spend, when we can afford a $60,000 or a $40,000 car, right? Let's just say $40,000 car, but we want to spend the $100,000 on it. Right? We can afford simplicities in our life in order to be able to save to go for Hajj, but we choose not to. We choose to continuously pamper ourselves, to continuously keep up with the Joneses, to continuously spend in order to fit in to the society that we live in. My brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ is known till today. Till today. He had a home for every one of his wives. And he had a home for himself as well. How many of us are able to own a home for ourselves and own a home for our wife? One for her and one for me. We can't do that. Muhammad ﷺ lived within his means and prioritized the deen over the dunya. And we are failing at doing that, my brothers and sisters. Today, we are failing at putting our deen before our dunya. That's all the time that we have for today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings, forgive us for our mistakes, forgive us for our ignorance, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who don't pretend and play to be ignorant, and allow us to excel and to grow and to become better in our deen, and to be from amongst those who show a good example in this life to everyone around us, and to benefit from establishing some sort of sadaqah jariyah. Jazakumullahu khairan wa barakallahu feekum. My brothers and sisters, please don't forget to contribute towards the Ramadan sprint, right? Don't forget to contribute towards that for Islamic Community Center of Milton, our Ramadan 2021 sprint. And just letting you know, we are going to be going live. In addition to the timing that we're going live now, we are going to be going live on the odd nights of Ramadan from the masjid. Okay, myself, Sheikh Hudayfa, Sheikh Riyad, Hafiz Adil, Hafiz Hikmat, some of the other Huffad as well, the young students, the Hifz students. We're going to bring one every single one of the odd nights, inshallah ta'ala. So we will be going live from the odd nights at 9:45 p.m. inshallah ta'ala, at the masjid. Okay, at the masjid, inshallah. So you stay in the comforts of your home. We'll go over there, we'll set it up, we'll live stream from there, inshallah. We'll try to, we will try to learn together, inshallah, throughout those nights as well. Jazakumullahu khairan wa barakallahu feekum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from your fasts. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.